You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
China has hundreds of millions of workers and 270 million of them are migrants coming to the cities to find opportunities. On paper, in China, it's a workers' paradise with numerous laws protecting workers' rights and supporting safe conditions on the job. Mao's original vision was a workers' utopia, and indeed the Chinese Communist Party would have you believe that they've solved the freedom from want problem under their system of governing. But a Chinese economic slowdown is a serious matter, with factories closing in 2008, exports declining, wildcat unorganized strikes are rising. In 2015, the China Labor Bulletin, a nonprofit in Hong Kong, recorded over 2,700 strikes, more than double the number in 2014. We turn to Ellen David Friedman, who is a visiting scholar at Sun Yat-sen University in Guangzhou, a city in southern China, and Francine Chen, a grassroots labor organizer with the Center for Social Change in Hong Kong. Friedman says China's needs are self-evident, but it is not self-evident if the workers will ever be enough in solidarity to seriously challenge the government.
The need is the same, I would say, as for workers everywhere. You know, you face conditions of employment in which you're not earning a decent wage, you're not able to afford a family, afford an apartment, pay for your kids to go to school, all the basic things. So there are at least 300 million migrant workers in China working in cities away from their hometowns and villages, living in not decent conditions and working under high exploitation. So
isn't there a minimum set of standards in the so-called communist constitution for workers' rights in China?
Yeah, most people would say, and I agree with this, that the laws in China, the labor laws in China, are rather strong. There are minimum wage laws. There are controls on the hours of the working day. You're supposed to have no more than an eight-hour workday.
Right.
Time and a half for overtime, double time on the weekends, and so on. And pretty much universally, people will say that it is impossible for workers to gain access to those conditions for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is the famous China price, that you have big purchasers like Walmart, for example, offering huge contracts to suppliers in China. The only condition is they have to produce at a per unit price, you know, for every T-shirt or every toothbrush. That makes it impossible for the employers, for the factory owners, to both meet that price and meet the labor laws. So labor laws are routinely violated.
Are people aware, Francine, of the labor laws in China? And do they realize? I mean, could you go up to the factory, Foxconn, where they make all the Apple stuff, and tell them, here, this is what you're supposed to be getting? And do they understand that?
Actually, workers, many workers, they don't really know their rights, their labor rights, according to the labor law. So many workers, when they are exploited by the employer, and then maybe they have underpayment of wage, and then for other benefits, they cannot get the benefits. Sometimes they don't know what their rights are according to labor law. But like for some of the labor activists, when they want to promote labor law to the workers, it's kind of difficult sometimes because it's not really allowed to have promotion of labor law inside the factories. And we can just do it like outside the factories. Maybe we can sometimes we'll do exhibition and then some handout leaflets outside the factories to promote labor law to the workers in order to raise their awareness.
But if you went into a Foxconn factory with all your labor law information, you could get arrested.
No, it is impossible to do the promotion in the factory.
You just wouldn't even get in.
No, we wouldn't have the chance to give in. Yeah, to get in.
Yeah, there's just no way.
No way.
So what do workers think collectively? Because it's hard to know what the collective voice of Chinese labor is right now.
The best we know is by their activity. So there has been a rising wave, you might even call it a tsunami, of wildcat strike activity in China for at least the last 20 years. There was a huge wave of strikes in the 1990s in the first wave of privatization when the government began to introduce capitalist market reforms And there are estimates of tens of millions of workers in state-owned enterprises who were laid off, and there were fairly violent militant strikes at that time. Those had the character of workers who had expected that they were building socialism, that they were in turn going to be taken care of. Instead, they were being thrown out on the streets. And so the slogans around those strikes were things like, we bled for you. We sweated for years to build socialism and to build China. And now you are robbing us.
Francine, is what you do dangerous?
To a certain extent, the labor organizations in China, they are under kind of surveillance, and then sometimes they may even face like crackdown by the government. Just recently, last December, there were a number of labor activists who were arrested in their homes and in their office because they gave support and assistance to the workers in struggles in China.
But you could be arrested anytime.
I think is still I can still go to China and can still work there. For some of the local organizers, they're like constantly under some threats and then sometimes being harassed by the government officials. Like that makes the work more difficult. For some of the work that is still going on in China, it still works. Yeah.
Francine Chen is a grassroots labor organizer with the Center for Social Change in Hong Kong. And we also have been speaking with Ellen David Friedman, who is a visiting scholar at Sun Yat-sen University in Guangzhou, a city in southern China. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.